I'm very happy now to welcome Patricia Pantano. She's Education Director of Camino de Paz School and Farm. It's a Montessori middle school. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you. I think when I first started doing the show, like 10, 11 years ago, you were here, and I went up to the farm in Santa Cruz, New Mexico, and we talked about this combination of Montessori and being outdoors. First of all, what is Montessori education?
Well, actually, Maria Montessori started out as a doctor, so she was very much a scientist, and she was put in charge of a group of very young children as part of a clinic, and she began studying them and studying how they interact with the environment, and she was also an anthropology professor, but she completely shifted to go into studying how children develop and how they learn. And so the most important thing about it is that at every stage of a Montessori school, or the classroom and the way they're introduced to learning changes with their developmental needs.
So what are the developmental needs of middle school kids? That's a crazy age. I mean, adolescence and just the beginnings of adolescence.
Right. Well, it's, you know, adolescence, early adolescence, they're going through changes similar to the ones they were doing from birth to age 3, really dramatic, really rapid, really taking in a lot. So the physical changes are, I guess, the most dramatic, right? Because they change from children into the threshold of adulthood, so they're all the gender characteristics that are changing, and their hormones, their growth patterns, you know, usually they first their legs shoot up and then other parts of their body fall in line. In addition to that, their cognitive skills are really changing. They become less black and white thinkers. They're able to see more nuance, more gray areas. They begin to conjecture, so their thinking becomes hypothetical and real. So sometimes, you know, if you're in a discussion or in an argument with a teenager, they'll bring up things like, what? And you say, what? No, that doesn't have a probability of happening, but in their mind, yeah, it can. Of course, the other physiological changes are within the brain. Their brain is going through really a lot of change. Their neural system is sort of being pruned back and then regrowing. So it's just a lot of stuff happening. They're very much more turned outward to society rather than in their family. They're wondering about who they are, who they're going to be, their future, in a way that they didn't do when they were young children.
So how does Montessori education specifically address this time of life?
Well, Montessori felt like they needed to get connected to the outer world in a new and different way. She felt that, especially in early adolescence, taking classes and courses and studying material the way they did in childhood was not really appropriate. They needed more physical attachment to their work. They needed to do real adult work. You know, with a very young child, you'll see them imitating adults. They'll want to wash dishes, or they'll want to sweep the floor, or they'll want to... And the same thing is sort of happening with adolescents. They, too, are wanting to really know what it's like to be an adult. So we give them real meaningful work attached to their academic studies. So, for example, if we're studying, let's say, linear equations and algebra, well, we can relate it to activities on the farm by collecting data and then graphing it. And the work on the farm, then, they actually produce things that people in the community eat, because we're at Santa Fe Farmers Market, we sell our things there, we give them to our families. So it gives them a feeling of, wow, I can do something. I can do something that means something to someone else.
So it's a working farm, and the students are the farmers?
To some extent. Of course, the amount of agriculture we do, it's impossible to be run by. And they're not slave laborers either, you know. But yes, they do have a stake in it. They keep a lot of records. They keep accounts of the farmers market sales. They do projections of sales.
So when they get there in the morning, what is their day like?
They get there in the morning, and their first 50 minutes, like their first quote-unquote period of school every day, is to work on a farm-related crew. So you might have students working in the greenhouses, maintaining the things in there, or doing transplants, or setting seeds, or doing harvest. 2 days a week, they work in the wash station to clean things. Other students may be working with the goats or the horses, or they may be doing repairs, or they may be in the school kitchen. And then after that, they come back in the classroom, and they record their observations, and they keep a science journal related to their chore work. And then they begin work sort of typical of any other middle school. You know, we have math classes, and we do language arts and literature, humanities, art. They play marimba.
But the science is based around the farm in particular.
Right, because that environment is so incredibly rich, whether you're talking about microbiology or physics or, and now too, of course, technology is getting into it. So,
now, is this one of those kind of sustainable farms where the animal manure gets converted into fertilizer and so on?
Yeah, exactly. And that's another point. They actually live out the saying, all things are connected, because they get to see that. They get to see how important the goats are, not just for their products, but for their fertilizer, and the same with the horses, the same with the plants, and then the human interaction and all of that, and what effect we have on them, and how they help us. So,
we're talking to Patricia Pontano about the Camino de Paz Montessori School and Farm. So do the kids also eat what they produce, like for lunch?
They do. We have a lunch program, and that also helps us cover nutrition. And again, it's not in an abstract way in a classroom, but it's real every day what they eat. We start making menus from what we have available on the farm, and from there we go to other farmers, and from there we go to stores, and we try as much as possible to get organic food. So like right now, the school has a non-GMO campaign going with postcards. So, you know, we've read and studied about genetic modification. Now it's down to, okay, we're going to fix lunch, and, you know, what in our menu is genetically modified? Can we get something different? So it's more than just an abstraction. It's a real everyday thing, learning how to make those choices, learning how to say, well, you know, the organic thing may be more expensive. What can we do to make up for that? How can we adjust the budget to make it possible for us to eat that way?
Right. Now, the program has been going on. You've been with the school for quite a while. And so some of these kids are now young adults who passed through the program, 10, 15 years ago. What are they doing now? Did any of them go into, for example, organic farming?
No, none of them have gone into farming. And really, that's not the point of the farm, to make them farmers. It's to give them a context where they can really do this work, really do something meaningful, and attach it to the other sort of academic things they need to learn in middle school. So some of them have gone into veterinary school. A lot of them actually have gone into the arts.
And
yes, or sort of jobs like, or careers like counseling or, you know, something like that. Not all of them have. I haven't been in touch with those who may have finished college already, so I can't actually say.
Right.
And we have there was just an article, I believe in the Taos paper, about a former student of ours who is working in traditional medicine, trying to integrate it with natural medicine, so that's really interesting.
That is interesting. Now, do you grow herbs also, and does herbal medicine play a role in the school?
Yeah, because we're not a certified organic goat dairy, but we aim for that. So when our animals have problems, that either homeopathy or herbs are the way we treat them. So we grow comfrey and sage, and we gather raspberry leaves for when the does kid. Raspberry is really good for them. So we gather the leaves and dry them to feed them. So we do that as well.
Now, you've got goats there. Do the kids get to see the miracle of birth, the little baby goats being born?
Not just see, but often assist.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sometimes if a goat is having problems, and then they have to make sure that the newborn goat nurses within the first hour, so they help with that. And so we're also doing genetics with that. There's we have two goats that aren't really with the rest of the herd. One is, they're of two different breeds, and so the students are wanted to mate those two. And so we're doing a genetic study to try to predict what the babies will look like when they come out in February.
So very interesting.
They're having a lot of fun with that.
So the kids are working on the farm in the morning, and then they're doing classes for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, okay, let's say the goat's about to be born. You got to stop math class and get out there.
We do. We do that. And sometimes it's during kidding season, goats will every day will be having. So we'll designate two students for that day who do that birth assistance. And then the next day it's two other students, so they're not all constantly being pulled out of class.
Now, we were talking about middle school age.
Yes.
What, 12, 13, 14, 15, somewhere
those ages. Yeah, from 12 to 15 are the ages we cover right now.
And those are ages where kids can get into being kind of cliquish and exclusionary. Does the fact of being on a farm and being in a committed sort of enterprise together mitigate that a little bit, or how do you deal with those kinds of situations?
Absolutely. They're doing so much collaborative study and collaborative work that it's often difficult for any students to stay together. I remember one year we had a student who transferred from a public school, and she spent almost a year trying to figure out who the popular kids were and the not popular kids. And at the end of the year, she said, "Well, I guess really there's no such thing. We all know, you know, who's good at what, and we just deal with it." So that was really a nice compliment, I felt.
That's an amazing thing. It also shows how driven we are inside of other school environments to stratify like that.
Yeah, to negotiate the social scene. And I think, you know, that's another really important factor of a school like this, is that everybody is expected to participate in all the work. So it's not like sort of stereotypes are challenged in that way. So, and gender roles are challenged too, because the girls, you know, unload the hay bales off the truck just like the boys do, and the boys are expected to work in the kitchen and things like that. And I think the thing that I see the most is their growth in confidence and their growth in, yes, I can do this. Because one thing that in our culture today, children and teenagers are protected from failing sometimes, or they're protected from being really challenged. And so in this environment, failure happens a lot. You plant seeds and they don't grow, or you forget to water them, or, you know, a baby goat is born and it's not alive when it's born, or things like that. And so the students, you can't just turn and walk away and say, "Oh, well, forget that. It's a nasty experience. I'm not going to do it." But it's like, okay, you know, what went wrong here? What happened? What could we have done? Sometimes this happens, you know, this happens in life. So that is a really important lesson they can't really get in a traditional classroom.
Very interesting. Now, do kids find often a thing that they love the most and that they're good at, and then do they get to keep doing that, or do they have to always rotate their chores and so on?
They rotate until their third year there, and then they get to choose if they want to be the manager of that particular crew, like if somebody really likes horticulture, or somebody really likes working in the dairy, or somebody really likes being in the kitchen, or somebody really likes the business end of it, you know, balancing the accounts and things like that. So, yes, they get to specialize in their third year.
Mm-hmm. And they are working with adults not only as teachers, but as sort of peers on the farm, I would think.
Yes, mentors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the other thing about adolescence is when they start to turn their attention away from the family, they're looking for other adults to take on roles that their parents used to. So it's often easier for a teacher to say something to a child and not get a reaction that a parent would say, and of course they would blow up, you know, you don't trust me, I don't, you know, and go on and on. But with an adult mentor, because the relationship is different, there's sort of a different way in. So yes, and they're listening all the time, even when we think they aren't, even when they say, I'm not paying attention to you, or I don't agree with what you say, they're taking it in.
Right, right. There's also just the simple aspect of doing physical work. I think a lot of kids in school are kind of stir crazy because there's just not enough physical activity, and so they're kind of about to explode all the time.
Well, that's one of the big developmental changes in adolescence is the need for that physical activity. And when your body is growing and it's changing, you need to keep using it to kind of figure out, you know, what's going on, or to, you know, I always use the example of one day I go to reach for a glass of water and I get the glass, and the next day I go and I've grown and I knock it over, kind of thing. But yes, that physical activity is really important. And I think it also, because the first thing in the morning we're out doing that, running around, and then when they come in they're ready to settle down and, you know, have a snack and get on with the rest of the work. Yeah, it's really important.
So you're having an open house coming up fairly soon?
Yes, Sunday, October 26th. The program begins at 2. And then after that, I think it's maybe a 15 or 20-minute program. Then we do tours and get to meet the kids and see the place. It's really, really changed since you were out there, I must say.
It's more developed.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
There's so much controversy now about testing and standardized testing and all of that stuff, but it is a reality that we live in. And, I mean, to what extent do your kids take tests like that? How do they, I mean, is there any sense of preparing for college? Do these kids do well eventually in terms of getting into college and tests and so on?
Yeah, well, we give a standardized test once a year, and it helps us to gauge, of course, our curriculum and what we've managed to get across or how a student is progressing. But it's not the be-all. That's not what we're preparing them for. We're preparing them for life, not for tests. And as far as I know, when they transfer from our school into high school, they haven't had problems getting in. I mean, our students have gone to any place from Desert Academy to NMSA to schools in Taos, public and private schools. So I think the fact that the learning is so integrated, it helps them to understand it in a different way. So when the test comes, they can still deal with that.
So it's Camino de Paz Middle School, and it's at Camino, CaminoDePaz.net, and October 26th, they can go out there. What do you do in the summer when school's not in session, but that's when a lot of farming needs to be done?
Well, the students sign up in pairs to come for a week during the summer, and they help continue their routine chores, and they work a Saturday at Farmer's Market, and that's also part of the curriculum. Every Saturday, one or two students go to the market to sell things, so they learn to make change, they learn to talk about their products. They can describe how the feta cheese is made and how the chèvre is made, and, you know, beneficial bacteria and things like that. And, you know, actually meet the public on an adult level. You know, I'm here selling my things and you're buying them. And
right.
So they, yeah, in the summer they come in pairs. And then, of course, we have a staff who also keeps the farm going.
And you have interns who can come in at certain times of the year?
Yes. We have interns who rotate on six-month rotations. And they come also to learn about either the horticulture side of it or the dairy side of it. Mm-hmm.
Patricia Pantano is Education Director at Camino de Paz Middle School and Farm. It's a Montessori middle school. And once again, CaminoDePazPiezi.net. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoyed it.